Bhagavata Angri Renam. The dust of the feet of a pure devotee. Na, never. Jatu, at any time. Martya, mortal. Avilabheta, particularly received. Ya, a person. Tu, but. Shri, with opulence. Vishnupadya, of the lotus feet of Vishnu. Manuja, a descendant of Manu. A man. Tulasya, leaves of the tulsi tree. Shvasan, while breathing. Shava, still a dead body. Ya, who? To, but. Naveda, never experienced. Gandam, the aroma. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. The person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Please repeat. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. When a man dies, he is called dead. When he again appears in a subtle form, not visible to our present vision, and yet acts, such a dead body is called a ghost. Ghosts are always very bad elements, always creating a fearful situation for others. Similarly, the ghost-like non-devotees, who have no respect for the pure devotee, nor for the Vishnu deity in the temples, create a fearful situation for the devotees at all times. The Lord never accepts any offering from such impure ghosts. There is a common saying that one should first love the dog of the beloved before one shows any loving sentiments for the beloved. The state of pure devotion is obtained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service to the Lord is therefore to be a servant of pure devotee, and this condition is fulfilled by the statement, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee has also served another pure devotee. This is the way of pure disciplic succession or devotional parampara. Maharaj Rahugana inquired from the great saint Jadbar as to how he obtained such a liberated stage of a Paramahansa, and an answer of the great saint replied as follows. The Bhagavatam 5.12.12. Rahuganaita tapasa naja yati nachejaya nirvapadnad grihadva nachandasa naiva talagni surayar vina mahatpara rajo bishekam. O King Rahugana, the professional stage of devotional service of the Paramahansa state of life cannot be obtained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. It is never obtained by tapasya, austerity, the Vedic worshipping process, acceptance of the renounced order of life, the discharge of duties of household life, chanting of the Vedic hymns, or the performance of penances in the hot sun, within cold water, or before the blazing fire. In other words, Lord Sri Krishna is the property of his pure unconditional devotees, and as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Lord Chaitanya therefore designated himself as Gopi Bhartu Parakamalayur Dasa Dasa Anudasa. are the most obedient servant to the servants of the Lord who maintains the gopi damsels at Vrindavan. Pure devotee therefore never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant to the Lord's servants, and thus the Lord becomes pleased, and only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulsi leaf stuck to the lotus to his lotus feet. Brahma Samhita has said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotees. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted, feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees. And once you recommend such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. The conclusion is therefore that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee and that of the Lord directly. And by one's doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. Jivan Shava Bhagavatam Virenum Najatu Martyo Vila Veta Yastu Sri Vishnu Padya Manujastilasya Shvasan Shava Yastu Naveda Gandam. A person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body, and the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves and the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Om Vishnu Vishnu Prasthavudaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vajarne Nirvishesha Srinivari Pasipatyade Sitarne. So this is a very broad topic, but very specifically explained here that one has to get the mercy of a pure devotee. The term pure devotee is a very broad topic, and similarly mercy is a broad topic. But basically speaking, real mercy is coming from Krishna, because or Krishna is one who is in contact with Krishna or with Krishna's eternal associates, then one becomes spiritualized by such contact. Radha, when we say Krishna, we mean Radha Krishna and their expansions. Ladini Shakti, the source of transcendental pleasure. When Krishna is pleased upon the devotee, then he bestows that transcendental Chit Shakti upon the devotee, of which the essence is the Samvit and Ladini Shakti. And that produces illumination and transcendental pleasure, which frees one from all material conceptions. Srimati Radharani is mentioned here as a personification of that Ladini Shakti that we're looking for, and the question is, or it's explained here, that in order to get that association with Ladini Shakti, with Krishna's service, which means ultimately with Krishna, Ladini Shakti means Krishna's service, we cannot separate transcendental pleasure from Krishna, just like we cannot separate Radharani from Krishna. So Krishna means the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead, and pleasure means the interchange between Radha and Krishna, the interchange between Krishna and service, the serving mood of Radharani, the pleasure mood. Service to Krishna means to give him transcendental pleasure. Just like we cannot say that service to anyone means to make them miserable. Couldn't we say that? I'm doing you a very nice service, Prabhu. I'm helping you suffer, so that the time of death you'll be well practiced in suffering. So it is the kind of service, but it's not favorable service. Prabhu Goswami says, Anya bilasita shunya jnana karma yadavrita anukulyena krishna nu shilana bhakti uchite. That it is said that pure devotional service means that it has to be uncovered by fruit of desire. Fruit of desire means sense gratification. So in the material world there are different ways of working, either with the body or the mind or the words or the intellect. And all these activities can be offered to Krishna. So pure devotional service can be done by any, practically anything in this material world, but the idea is to serve Krishna rather than for sense gratification. And it should be anushilanam. It should be that which is pleasing to Krishna. And it should be something that is done in a favorable mood, that actually pleases Krishna and is done to please Krishna. In other words, the idea is to please Krishna. So Krishna is pleased when his devotees are engaged in pleasing his other devotees. Krishna is pleased to see his devotees pleased. Therefore, service to the devotees means service to Krishna, but doing something which is favorable in Krishna consciousness. As I mentioned before, one time there was one temple president, and he was very expert at saving money, saving so much money that the devotees weren't eating properly in his temple. And when Prabhupada came to visit that temple, and all the devotees complained to Prabhupada that we're not eating properly. So Prabhupada asked that particular devotee, the temple president, why is it that you're not feeding the devotees properly? So the devotee said, we're saving money, Prabhupada, because we always know that you like to save money. So to please you, we're saving money. So Prabhupada said, do you think putting all the devotees into anxiety is pleasing to me? In other words, one has to have some kind of balance between in service to Krishna. One has to understand that ultimately we want to please the devotees. Of course, pleasing the devotees doesn't mean we had some devotees, they decided that we were going to please, this is 1969, they decided that they were going to please Prabhupada. So every day they were going to cook as if Prabhupada was personally there, make a big feast. So every day they made a big feast and offered to Prabhupada to please him. So, of course, they also were pleased because every day they're eating a big feast. That's the benefit of pleasing the pure devotee. Of course, the temple ran out of money, which was not so pleasing to the treasurer, and I happen to be the treasurer. So the idea is not that we please one person and so many other people are displeased. So never one should forget the idea of Itaturamula Nishana Triptyanti Tatskana Bujo Pushaka Pranaharatchayatendriana Tataiva Sarvahanam Atuteja. That the basic principle of Krishna consciousness is that if you water the root of the tree, then automatically the leaves and branches are supplied water. And by supplying food to the stomach, naturally all the different parts of the body are served. So similarly, if one serves Lord Arjuna, Lord Krishna, then naturally all the demigods and everyone else is satisfied. So the spiritual master is not someone who comes with his independent ideas, what it means to please Krishna. That Prabhupada said to distribute books, and therefore, hook or crook, whatever it takes, go out there and distribute books. That's all right. And the devotees, no clothing for them because it costs too much money, it takes away from the book distribution, no prasadam, just go out there and work until you disappear, and after you disappear then we find someone new, because after all we're preaching, the books will attract some people, they can come, they can distribute more books until they disappear. So this is not completely wrong, but it's not completely right either. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, service, he also mentions that there is to be some quality to the service. Just like Krishna says, Advesha sarabhutana maitra karuna evacha niramo nirhankara samudukha sukha swasti santushta saratam yogi itatmajuda nishtaya mayarpitam narobudhir yomad bhaktisame priyaha. That one who is not envious, who's a kind friend to all living entities, who doesn't consider himself a proprietor, and is free from false ego, who's happiness and equal in happiness and distress, honors and dishonor, who's friendly to all living entities, then he's certainly very dear to me. In other words, Krishna explains that there are many qualities that the devotee should have. Not that he should be simply interested in serving Krishna, even at the expense of all other living entities, even at the expense of all good qualities. Lokapila Dev mentions that there are devotees, or aspiring devotees, also in the mode of ignorance. They're called separatists, because they're actually separate from Krishna's interest, although they're engaged in devotional service. The highest perfection of one of the symptoms of high perfection of devotional service, advanced devotional service, is that one doesn't have any interest outside the interest of the Lord. At the beginning, of course, there is accepting everything favorable. Anakulyasya sankalpa. So that's certainly praiseworthy if someone accepts something favorable for devotional service. But the more advanced devotee not only accepts which is favorable, but he also gives up which is unfavorable. Not that I claim that I'm a very advanced devotee because I'm doing everything favorable. And also I do a few things unfavorable, but don't look at those things, because those unfavorable things don't really count. It's what I'm feeling that counts. What we're feeling counts, of course, but it also what we're doing counts also. That one has to become an acharya, not that I simply say something and then I do something else and I expect everyone to follow what I say and don't look at what I'm doing. No, acharya means that one not only says something, but he also does the same thing, just to show an example for others. And after accepting favorable things in devotional service, rejecting unfavorable things, then one should become more Krishna conscious and develop his faith that Krishna will actually protect me and maintain me. That if I'm in Krishna consciousness, then I have nothing to worry about. And advancing beyond Rakshasi, Titi, Vishvaso, Gopriva, Varna, Tata. Then after that, then Atma Nishepa. That one should have no interest outside of Krishna's interest. So a devotee doesn't have an interest outside of Krishna's interest. And Atman Nishepa Sankalpe, and he's also always meek and humble. So these are symptoms of more advanced devotees. Of course, we respect devotees who are performing favorable activities for Krishna and who are devoid of unfavorable activities. We're actually dependent upon Krishna and take shelter of Krishna, who have no interest outside of Krishna's, but one who's always meek and humble, etc. So one has to take guidance from all devotees, all classes of devotees. One has to appreciate them. But one should not simply think that the basic principles of surrender to Krishna are everything. One should also try to develop all the qualities, including the topmost qualities of always being, well, there are many topmost qualities. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita some of them. There are 26 qualities of a devotee. Devotee is kind to everyone, doesn't quarrel with anyone, he's fixed in the absolute truth, he's clean, he's meek, he's humble, he doesn't eat more than required. So there are 26 qualities of a pure devotee mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so we should want to develop all the good qualities. Of course, of the essence of all the qualities, the most important quality is that the devotee is always engaged in devotional service to Krishna. So even if one doesn't have all the 26 qualities, that if he's engaged in devotional service, he must be considered a sadhu, because by such sincere engagement in devotional service, then gradually he'll develop all the good qualities. But unless we develop the good qualities, then how can we say actually that we're very advanced in devotional service? It's alright, I'm engaged in devotional service, and by such engagement in the future, that I can develop my good qualities because of the blessings of pure devotional service. But still, unless I develop the good qualities, then I can't claim or one should not think that one is such an advanced devotee. So, here it mentions that we should take shelter of the advanced devotees, because, or we should take shelter of all the devotees. And before, Rupa Goswami says, Krishna iti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chatvaniti bhischa bhajantam isham shushu shaya chabhajanam ananya anya indati sunyaridayam ishita sangalabhya. That one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name. So of course Rupa Goswami is giving us three categories, which we may say is the Kanista Adhikara, the Madhyama Adhikara, and the Uttama Adhikara. And for different of those personalities, then we should engage in loving reciprocations. Vidati pratikrinati, goyam akiti prichati, bhunte bodhayate chaiva, shadvidam pratilakshana. The purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement is to develop love. Prithi. Unless we're developing love, then, for Krishna and for Krishna's devotees, then our sadhana has no meaning. We should know what the goal is. If we're not feeling positively, then we're in maya. No matter how justified we are, no matter how many slogans we can quote to justify the state of consciousness I'm in, if one is not enlivened in devotional service, then he's subject to the influence of the modes of nature. And just because I'm performing devotional service doesn't mean that I'm necessarily not affected by the modes of nature. So there is, as I said, Kapila Deva says there's a separatist who's angry, envious, while he's performing his devotional service. So he's considered to be a separatist in the mode of ignorance. And those who are hankering after material popularity and fame and material acquisitions, they're also said to be in the mode of performing devotional service in the mode of passion. And those who are doing dutifully performing their service, they're in the mode of goodness. And those who are actually in contact with Krishna, in Krishna consciousness, that's transcendental devotional service. So we should aspire after that transcendental devotional service. We shouldn't assume, otherwise we'll never aspire for it. And if we don't aspire for it, then how will we ever develop it? So that's until we actually are constantly immersed in remembrance of Krishna while we're performing our loving service to Him, then we have to aspire to higher levels of devotional service. So in order to do that, Srila Rupa Goswami tells us that we have to meet with different devotees and engage in loving service to them. So he advises not to associate with devotees who we'll get into arguments with all the time. Of course, unfortunately, there may be many devotees and we may be very lonely if we're not very advanced. But the idea is that not that we should avoid the devotees, just like the first offense against chanting the holy name, is not to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives in propagation of the holy name of the Lord. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami has given us the advice. It's not that we simply should avoid blaspheming the devotees. Instead, we should try to serve the devotees and praise them. There's a positive side to it. In other words, instead of thinking, well, here's devotees I shouldn't associate with because otherwise I'll get into trouble. Instead, we should at least positively appreciate whatever service they are doing to Krishna within the mind and not try to get involved with them in such a way as we'll wind up criticizing them unnecessarily. And for the devotees who are factually following the instructions of the spiritual master, sincerely practicing the process which helps fix one's mind upon Krishna and devotion and engage in service to Krishna, especially in his missionary service, then one should try to cooperate with such devotees. That is a more advanced platform. Not simply to try to not to think badly about the devotees, or even to even appreciate the devotees. If one actually appreciates the devotees, if one becomes advanced in appreciation, then actually one will try to cooperate with the devotees so that one will make more devotees. This is the second class devotee. As I said, Ishvare tad adineshu, valisheshu dvitsatsucha, prema maitri kripopeka yat karoti samadhi maha. That the second class devotee, he loves Krishna. Therefore, his purpose of going to the temple is not simply out of duty. He's developing, as we've heard the word, rock. This is Raghunuga. Second class platform actually means naturally Raghunuga. Developing that feeling towards Krishna. Not simply out of duty, but because Krishna looks quite nice. He's sweet. Radharani is sweeter than him. Well, it depends what side you're on. But they're both quite sweet. And the gopis are very sweet. Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, and Srimati Subhadi Devi, they're always very joyful, very happy to see us. Even our parents aren't so happy to see us as they are. Gaurinitai are always ecstatically engaged in devotional service. Giri Govardhan is always meditating on Radha and Krishna. So, to come to see that this is an opportunity to see Krishna, appreciate Krishna, come before Krishna. Krishna is giving us his darshan so that we can serve him. And for the devotees, there is Maitri. Maitri means a friendship. That one is practiced in being friendly to the devotees. Not that, for the more advanced devotees, and we try to understand and follow their instructions, but not everyone is necessarily so advanced, but some of the devotees we just try and cooperate. We try and see their good qualities and cooperate with them to bring out to serve together in the mission of Krishna consciousness, of the Sankirtan mission. And for the devotees who are Balishu, who are more neophyte than us, and we try to raise them up to a higher platform. And for those who are inimical, or those who are, we should only respect within the mind, because it's not possible to actually, they're not interested in spreading the Sankirtan movement, according to the standard parampara, then with upeksha, we should simply try to avoid them. Otherwise, by associating with them, we wind up criticizing them or creating disturbance rather than developing our Krishna consciousness. So second class devotee is one who actually knows the science of Krishna consciousness and he's practicing it to come to becoming factually absorbed in Krishna. Not trying to waste his time. Shantira vyakta kala tvam virakti manushunyataha. He's developing the good qualities of avyakta kala tvam, not wasting time. Shantir of tolerance, manasuyataha, devoid of false prestige. So these good qualities is developing. And then, for those who are actually devoid of the unnecessary desire to criticize others, who are trying to associate mentally or physically with others, simply to fight with them, and who is advanced in undeviated devotional service, whose life is dedicated to following the principles, chanting the rounds, spreading Krishna consciousness, then one should learn from them how to advance to that higher platform ourselves by their example and by their instructions. In any case, we have something to learn from everyone, and we have to learn to associate with all the devotees so that we can actually get the transcendental instructions from them. We can see their example, as far as they're fulfilling their example, and try to appreciate that example, and by such appreciation we'll actually advance in devotional service. So here it says about dust from the lotus feet, naiva dvidev, Prahlada says, Krishneti, Mithirna Krishne Parataksutova, Mito Naishamiti Stavada Rukramangri, Prishat Ninarto Bhagavan Ninartam Mahiyasam Pada Roje Visekam Niskin Shanana Navraniti Yadva. So Prahlada Maharaj says that there's no way of becoming a devotee of Krishna unless one takes shelter of one who's doesn't have material aspirations. So of course this is used, especially nowadays, that someone is advertised as a Paramahamsa, Vaishnava, Uttama Adhikara, and it's more or less preached that you can offend everyone else. You can give up your own spiritual teachers, you can offend other devotees, you should, you know, and just take shelter of this Paramahamsa Vaishnava. So anyone who preaches like that, they're not very advanced. They don't understand the philosophy. And anyone, if so-called Paramahamsa Vaishnava accepts that, then he's a Kanista Adhikara. He doesn't understand the science of devotional service. The topmost devotee is one who knows how to arrange others' devotional service is that they're not offensive. They're actually connected with the disciple succession, with Krishna. They're actually working for the welfare of others. That they don't tell you to take shelter of one devotee and wind up offending so many other devotees. They know the science of devotional service completely, whether their followers can understand or not. Prabhupada was a very expert devotee. And for instance, sometimes he made remarks about the Gaudiya Math, his godbrothers in the Gaudiya Math, for our benefit, because factually they didn't understand the preaching mood of their own spiritual master. Therefore they didn't follow his instructions, and their mission wound up quarreling with each other. Those in the mission wound up quarreling with each other and stopping the preaching work. So Prabhupada didn't want us to follow that example, so he pointed out that problem that they had. But he didn't expect us to start criticizing his godbrothers. That's against the principle of devotional service, insofar as that one should respect, as Prabhupada also respected, whatever service they were rendering to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is not so easy to think that either you're in our society or a demon. That may be a simplistic way of looking at things, and convenient for us, that we don't have to think so much. We don't have to restrain our passion than making things simple and just condemning people, or he's my friend or he's my enemy. But there's a subtlety to the process of devotional service, and unless one learns that subtlety, one will wind up making offenses. And if one makes offenses against the devotees unnecessarily, of course there's no necessity to make any offense, but if one makes offenses, then one's devotional service will diminish instead of increase. But at the same time, one should not be so naive as to disregard the warnings and try to judge things from the transcendental vision, the glasses, or the perspective of the transcendental vision, and try to assimilate the knowledge so one knows how to appreciate the good qualities of devotees and to avoid bad association or the parts of the devotee's character which is not desirable. So Prabhupada cautioned us, and especially at that time he told us not to associate with them. Of course that may still hold true now, because generally if we associate with people in a bad way, even devotees, then we may find ourselves in trouble rather than actually advancing in devotional service. Only a very advanced devotee can associate with others and not take on their bad qualities, get their wrong conceptions. So Prabhupada cautioned us. Not that it was a symptom. He tried the best he could to try to enliven them and enlighten them to help cooperate in the Sankirtan movement. He wanted that, but they were very reluctant. And some of them still may be very reluctant. The Prabhupada still appreciated them and still tried to caution us. One side he gave us the caution not to deal intimately with them, and the other side he told us also to appreciate them. So that's a fine line. So similarly, one has to learn that discrimination. Devotional service takes discrimination. Otherwise, one will either wind up praising things that are not worthy of being praised, and condemning things that are actually worthy of being praised. That will praise things that are wrong and condemn things that are right. And then find oneself bewildered in devotional service. So So one has to learn proper discrimination under the proper guidance and understand everything is very positive in devotional service. It's meant to develop a loving mood. So how to develop a loving mood even in the midst of great difficulty? Well, the only way is to take shelter of one who is able to have that loving mood even in the greatest difficulty. I remember telling Sama Krishnamurti telling me one time that he was amazed that Prabhupada was involved in the trying to get the land of Juhu from Mr. Nara. Prabhupada said everyone's going back to Godhead except for Mr. Nara. That he was such an envious person. That there was Mr. Nara tried, he even went so far as to hire kundas with machetes to come and threaten the devotees. He tried to summon the municipality, he had them come and break down the temple and, you know, take over the land. So many different things Mr. Nara was doing. But Prabhupada was there. Even one time, the devotees somehow or another signed back the land to Mr. Nara. Tom Krishnamurti told me he called up Prabhupada and told him that, or maybe it was Giriraj Maharaj. It was Giriraj Maharaj. He said, well, we gave back the land, Prabhupada. Well, and all he heard was at the other end, click. Prabhupada just hung up. Didn't say a word. So that was when Prabhupada was very angry. He didn't say anything. Anyhow, Prabhupada came back and got back the land. Mr. Nair was came with his guru because he was he thought Prabhupada had a mystic power and he was afraid that Prabhupada would cast a spell on him. So he had his tantric guru come with him. And Prabhupada said, oh, very nice, you know, we'll have a little discussion, but his guru was right there. So Prabhupada had the devotees cook this huge feast and he was feeding Mr. Nara and Prabhupada was eating and everyone was eating and Mr. Nara down and feeling a little, well, no, let's push out, take a little bit more. So Prabhupada stuffed everyone. And then Mr. Nara said, and Prabhupada went, oh, and Mr. Nara said, oh, I think you're tired, Swamiji. So Prabhupada said, yes, you're right, I'm tired. So Prabhupada said, actually, afterwards he said, when someone says like that, it means that they're tired. So Mr. Nara, he went to, you know, Prabhupada took rest. Mr. Nara took rest. Everyone took rest. The whole was snoring everywhere in the building. And then Prabhupada got up. Told Mr. Tama Krishna Maharaj to go wake up Mr. Nara, but don't wake up his guru. Called over Mr. Nara, had a discussion with him, had him sign back the land, and then they woke up his guru. Prabhupada got the land. So throughout all this, Prabhupada would give class every day, everything was going, you know, as normal. And Tama Krishna Maharaj completely amazed how Prabhupada could do it. So much anxiety, so much conflict and tension. The Prabhupada was completely aloof from the whole thing, completely absorbed in devotional service and making expert decisions how to deal with the matter at the same time. So one has to take shelter of such a person who's so determined to spread the Sankirtan movement that in spite of all obstacles, one goes on with his own personal devotional service and at the same time does the practical activities in order to spread Krishna consciousness. So such a personality is Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's instructions are available. So our measuring stick to understand what's to be done and what's not to be done, who's on what level of devotional service, is by Prabhupada's measuring stick. Not that because many followers are claiming this person is an Uttama Adhikar. We've heard that. Even within our society, everyone was putting some up as an Uttama Adhikar and then crash. Oh, what to do? You know? He wasn't the real one. This other one's the real one. Crash. Oh my God. He wasn't the real one either. It's the other guy. So this going on, you know, fanatically claiming this person's the Uttama Adhikar, surrender to him, you're going back to God, it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter how many rounds you chant, doesn't matter how many principles you follow, doesn't matter what you're engaged in, simply take initiation from this person, sit in the fire sacrifice, get your bees, and then you're going back to God. And then he goes, crash. And you go, well, got to find the other one who has the cheap and easy way of going back to Godhead. No, the way of going back to Godhead, the actual Paramahansa, the person who actually knew the science, didn't deviate from the scripture. That this is science, the devotional service, and the actual advanced devotees, they'll explain the science and tell us if we follow that, then we'll make progress. It's not a question of initiation. It's not a question of becoming a fanatic, a follower, or so on. It's a question of actually understanding the subtleties of the science and following them. And one's personal life and behavior and interchanges with the other devotees and with everyone else, so that one actually becomes conscious of Krishna. One does everything all the time as a service, loving service to Krishna. One knows what Krishna wants, and one is enthusiastic to do that. So that's a science. And it takes examples, and it takes knowledge, and it takes so many things, and it's not cheap. And if we follow in Prabhupada's footsteps, because practically speaking, it's not easy to come to that level. And therefore Prabhupada, as an example, in so many different ways, showed us what that level is. Prabhupada may have misquoted verses, he may have even fallen asleep sometimes, he may have, done so many different things, which an ordinary person may think is, less advanced, if you actually. But actually, whatever Prabhupada was doing, even if we don't say whatever, we can see Prabhupada's whole life was dedicated to spreading the Sankirtan movement, and he tried to deal personally with everyone to give them Krishna. There's no example where Prabhupada wasn't trying to give someone Krishna. Even when he was yelling at people, he was trying to give them Krishna. When he was indifferent, when he was condemned, when he was criticizing his godbrothers, it wasn't because he didn't like them. He criticized them specifically for certain things, that they didn't accept the orders of their spiritual master. And he felt compassion for them that they didn't take up, and they didn't understand the science of devotional service clear enough to take it up in an enthusiastic way to actually benefit themselves and others. And when he praised people, which he did often, it was to encourage them more to do the right thing that they were doing so they could do it better. So if we see Prabhupada's example, read Prabhupada's books, then everything will become clearer what to do. And those who are trying to explain it, then that they can help us. Those who are saying the same thing as Prabhupada, which means the same thing as Krishna, they can be helpful to us. And those who are saying something different, they'll probably make things more confusing. They will make things more confusing. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes.
Well, I understood that when we praise someone, we praise actually quality, and when we criticize someone, we criticize quality. Because actually person is person itself, so we cannot criticize person, but we don't associate, for example, with certain qualities which person possess, and if he is exhibiting good qualities, so at that time we can associate with him because we will not be inflicted by bad qualities. Is that correct?
Well, that sounds pretty ideal. How do you know?
No, we can recognize good and bad qualities. So when someone is showing good qualities, so it is a sign that we can associate with him. But
okay. I mean, in general, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the best quality, of course, is to be engaged in devotional service. That's the essential quality. But then above that, there are other qualities. So Prabhupada is defined. He is defined. Devotional service means you're following the parampara. You have the same interests as the parampara. You may not be able to perfectly follow, but at least you have the same idea, the same interests. You're not opposed. So this person's svatija, we should associate with. And persons who have a different idea, then we should respect them, we shouldn't associate with them, although they may be engaged in devotional service.
No material motivation, because sometimes this material motivation is different activities which can seem to be with material aspiration, you can say. Only that person can say that it's yutta vairagya, that whatever I do, for you maybe it seems that it's material.
The following principles. If they're externally acting properly, then we should be able to, that's how we judge. We can't enter into their heart and see what their inner motivation is. That may come out in the course of time. But if they're externally following properly, then we can appreciate it. As far as, you know, before one takes initiation, for instance, one is supposed to observe the devotee over some period of time, seeing whether they're actually following regular principles. They're chanting their rounds. They're trying to spread Krishna consciousness. One should observe the person for some time. So, what's observed is their behavior. And of all the behavior, the most essential quality, according to Prabhupada and according to Vishwanatha Bhakti Thakur, necessarily just because they give us some realization that they're on the highest platform, but at least they're on a higher platform than we are. If they have the same realization that we have, the same understanding, then at least they're on the same platform. And if they have a different understanding, then either we try and clear it up with someone who has a higher understanding who can show us how they're compatible, or we should not so associate with that person so closely. Yes. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Gandhara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.